I want you to open your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. I imagine that everybody listening to me is familiar with this particular verse of Scripture. It begins this way. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah writing here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, my subject today is the throne of God. The throne of God. Now, Isaiah the prophet lived and preached during the reign of four kings. He lived and preached during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. But I believe his favorite king of all those kings was Uzziah. The Scripture says everything that Uzziah did and said, Isaiah recorded. Because Uzziah was a great king. He was popular with the people. He feared God, and he served the people well. During his reign, things were very prosperous in the land of Judah. He took care of the people. But after years and years of great success and popularity and much fame, Uzziah became a proud man. The Scripture says his heart was lifted up with pride. And he went down to the temple on this particular day, and he told the priest that he intended to offer a sacrifice. Now, the priest said to him, "It appertaineth not to thee, O king, to offer a sacrifice." Kings do not offer sacrifices. The priest does. God anointed and appointed the priest to represent the people in things pertaining to God. And a king never offered a sacrifice. You remember King Saul did that. And Samuel, the prophet, rebuked him. He said, "It's not your place to offer a sacrifice." And Saul said, "Well, you weren't here." And Samuel answered, "Well, it's better to obey than to sacrifice." Well, Uzziah persisted. He persisted. He was going to offer a sacrifice. He was going into the presence of God and offer a sacrifice no matter what the priest had to say. And that's what he did. And Almighty God turned this man, this popular, famous, well-loved king, into a leper. He turned him into a leper, and he died. And that's when it was at this particular solemn time that Isaiah wrote these words. That's the reason this chapter begins. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the holiness of God. Isaiah wrote, I saw the justice and righteousness of God. I saw the truth of God. In the year that King, the popular, well-liked, famous King Uzziah died because he violated the sacrifice. He did what God had forbidden all men to do. Only the priest was to offer a sacrifice. And Isaiah wrote, in the year that he died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple, and his glory filled the earth. Now, this is my subject, the throne of God. I saw the Lord, Isaiah said, sitting on a throne, the throne of God. I want us to look at that. Now, I haven't seen the Lord as Isaiah saw him. I just know that I've seen the Lord by faith in his word, in his promises. But I've never seen the Lord like Isaiah saw him here. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. And he said the seraphims were flying about the throne of God, and they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And Isaiah said, I cried out, "Oh, woe is me. I'm cut off. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He saw the Lord. Now, I haven't seen the Lord as Isaiah saw the Lord, and neither have you. And I realize that that what I do see, I see through a glass dimly. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. We see through a glass dimly. And what I know in part. And I prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then I'll know as I have been known. But I haven't seen the Lord as Isaiah did. And I know in part, I see through a glass dimly, but the Scriptures have much to say about the throne of God. Much to say about the throne of God. And that's what I'm depending on for my message today. What the Scripture says about the throne of God. What does the Scripture say about the throne of God? Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. Well, first of all, the Scripture tells us that His throne is a throne of majesty and glory. It's a glorious throne, a throne of majesty. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high, Isaiah said, high and lifted up, and His glory filled the universe. And Paul said in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, He shall show. God will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Listen, who sits on a throne, who dwells in light, which no man can approach, which no man has seen or can see. God dwells in a light, an awesome light, which no man can see or has seen or can approach. Paul wrote of his experience when he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but I knew a man some time ago that went to the third heaven, into paradise. And he said, I saw things it's not even possible for me to speak or to tell. So wonderful. God's throne is a throne of glory. He dwells in a light to which no man can approach. I heard things, he said, I can't put in words. And then the elders in the book of Revelation before the throne broke forth into that sevenfold praise of the glory of God. And they said, as they stood before the throne, they said, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. A throne of majesty and glory. That's the throne of God. But also the Scripture says His throne is a throne of holiness. Isaiah said the seraphims were flying about the throne of God. Six wings, with two they covered their feet, with two they covered their mouths, and with two they did fly. And all of them in unison with one song, Holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The seraphims were celebrating the chief attribute of God, His holiness. My friends, if you were going to describe the Lord God in one word, if you were given one word to define and describe the God, the living God, the God of heaven and earth, what word would you use? Well, the seraphim shows one word, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Holy, His holiness. Holy and reverend is His name. That's what David said. Holy and reverend is His name. And in Psalm 47, David wrote, God sits upon the throne of His holiness. God sits on the throne of His holiness. My friends, when the great high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood atonement once a year on the Day of Atonement, as he went into that Holy of Holies, he had something written on the mitre on his hat. What did he have written there? I'll tell you what it was. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness. And when God speaks of His dwelling place, He calls it His holy temple. God is in His holy temple. When he speaks of his word, he calls it his holy word. When he speaks of his angels, they're called his holy angels. When he talks of his spirit, it's his Holy Spirit. When he talks of his chosen nation, he said, "You're a chosen priesthood, a royal people, and a holy nation." When he speaks of the calling of his people, they're called with a holy calling. God sits on a throne of holiness. His throne is a throne of majesty and glory and a throne of holiness. Thirdly, listen. His throne is a throne of judgment. Judgment. God hath prepared his throne for judgment. That's what David wrote in Psalm 9. God hath prepared his throne for judgment. Listen. He will judge the world in righteousness. God will judge the world in righteousness. Psalm 97, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. You know, judgment is not a pleasant subject. I love that scripture says there's therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ. David said one time, "Lord, don't bring me into judgment with thee." Judgment and condemnation are not pleasant subjects, but I tell you this, God will by no means clear the guilty. He must deal with sin. He must punish sin. The scripture says the judge of the earth shall and must do right. You see, there are no plea bargains before the throne of God. His is a throne of judgment and justice and righteousness. There are no loopholes in God's justice. If we're delivered in any way, it's either guilty or not guilty. If we're delivered in any way, it's going to have to be in a way in which his law is satisfied and his justice is honored, because he's a just God. When he says, "I'm a just God and a Savior," I'm a just God. And in order to save us, he's got to do it in a way that is compatible and consistent with his justice. His throne is a throne of justice. And then fourthly, the scripture says his throne is a throne of sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? Well, the word is in the word sovereignty. What it means is in the word sovereignty. R-E-I-G-N, reign. God reigns. That's what the word means. He reigns. Sovereignty. David wrote, "The Lord reigns. The Lord God reigneth. The Lord reigns over all." Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, "Say to them, thy God reigneth." Daniel wrote, listen, Daniel 4, "God's dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing?" He does not owe his creatures any explanation of his deeds and his works and his acts. He is Lord. He is sovereign in all things, in creation, in providence, and in salvation. Paul said he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Isaiah said, "Our God declares the end from the beginning." He declares the end from the beginning. We talk about the beginning. We have to wait for the results or the end. See how everything works out. But God declares the end from the beginning. Listen, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." He asked one time, "Can I not do with my own what I will?" God's sovereign. Absolutely. Immutably, unchangeably, sovereign. The Lord thy God reigneth. The old leper, when our Lord came down from the mountain, the old leper ran to him and fell down before him and worshipped him and said to him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And that sums it up. If you will. If you will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. If you will, you can. So we have a throne of glory. God sits on a throne of holiness. God sits on a throne of true judgment and justice. And God's throne is a throne of sovereignty. But fifthly, His throne is a throne of wisdom. Our God's too wise to make a mistake. He's too good to do wrong. His throne is a throne of wisdom. The psalmist said in Psalm 104, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom Thou hast made them all. When I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things Thou hast made, David said, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? And then he said, I realize how manifold Thy works. In wisdom Thou hast made them all. Psalm 136, give thanks unto the Lord, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens and the earth. The wisdom of God. His throne is a throne of infinite wisdom. The hymn writer put it this way, great God, how infinite Thou art. What worthless worms are we? Let the whole race of creatures bow down and worship Thee. Thy throne eternal ages stood. Ere seas and stars were made, Thou art the everlasting God where all the nations dead. Listen, eternity with all its years stands present in Thy view. To Thee nothing old appears, and great God, there's nothing new. Our God is a God of wisdom, immaculate, infinite, eternal wisdom. And then His throne is an eternal throne. It's not only a throne of wisdom, but it's an eternal throne. Psalm 45 says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and forever and forever. Psalm 93:2 says, Thy throne, O God, is established of old. Thou art from everlasting to everlasting. And Paul said in Hebrews, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I saw the Lord, Isaiah said. I saw the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died. When God dealt with this man, this special man, yet God dealt with him in justice and judgment and holiness and righteousness. I saw the Lord. I saw Him sitting on a throne of majesty, a throne of glory, a throne of holiness, a throne of righteousness, a throne of sovereignty, a throne of wisdom, and an eternal throne. I saw the Lord, ageless and forever. Well, is this all we know about the throne of God? Must I stop here? If I must stop here and talk only about a throne of judgment and justice and holiness and righteousness and sovereignty and majesty, if I must stop here, then every one of us, you and I, everyone, we're going to have to just bow down and perish. There'd be no hope for sinners like you and me. There'd be no hope for sinners like you and me before a throne of righteousness, would there? Before a throne of holiness. But there's good news. Over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it says God's throne is a throne of grace. A throne of grace. Listen to it. Paul calls the throne of God the throne of grace. He said, let us, therefore, come boldly. Where? Before the throne of God, the throne of grace. Let us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Worthless worms. Let us come before the throne of grace. Now, I tell you, we dare not approach a throne of glory. God dwells in a light, He said, which no man can approach. We dare not approach the throne of glory and majesty, which no man hath seen or can see. That's what the Scripture said. And you and I want nothing to do with God on a throne of holiness, do you? I don't. Martin Luther once said, I want nothing to do with an absolute God. Paul said, let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty, subject to the judgment of God. I want nothing to do with the throne of majesty and glory and holiness, and I tremble to stand before a throne of judgment. David said in Psalm 130, listen to it, Lord, out of the depths have I cried to thee. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, if you should mark iniquity, and he will. If you should judge iniquity, and he will. If you should hold the guilty responsible, and he will. Who shall stand? Who can stand? But, listen, but there's forgiveness with thee. We're talking here not about a throne of glory and majesty and holiness and righteousness and judgment. We're talking about a throne of grace. Amazing grace. Redeeming grace. Forgiving grace. Grace and mercy is the word. Mercy. Mercy. I tell you what grace is. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Giving us a hearing. Giving us an ear. Giving us time. Giving us a counsel. Let's come, he said. Let's reason together. God reasoning with sinners? Yeah. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them like wool. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And so Paul says here, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. 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 Free mercy. Sovereign mercy. Saving mercy. And grace to help us in our time of need. Oh, somebody said, but preacher, wait a minute. You've just been talking about God sits like Isaiah when King Uzziah died under the judgment of God for violating the atonement and violating the priesthood and violating the sacrifice, and God dealt with him in wrath and judgment and killed him. You just talked about a throne of glory and a throne of majesty and a throne of holiness and a throne of judgment and a throne of righteousness. Where do you get this throne of grace? How can God's throne of justice and righteousness and holiness become to the guilty a throne of mercy? How can the same God be just and justify? How can the same God show holiness and righteousness and at the same time show mercy, love, and forgiveness? How can he punish a man and set him free? How can he hold him accountable and yet declare him not guilty? One word, Christ. Jesus Christ. Substitute, sacrifice, sin offering, satisfaction, sufficient redeemer. One word. Seeing, look back at verse 14 of Hebrews 4. Seeing we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Seeing then we have a high priest, God has appointed us an advocate. God has appointed us, that's a court-appointed advocate, lawyer. God has appointed us a mediator. God has appointed us a high priest who came to this earth in our flesh, bone of our bone, who met God's law, satisfied it, who met God's justice and died under his condemnation, his judgment, and his wrath, who was buried and rose again. And he said, he is none other than the Son of God. Co-equal with God. He is Jesus Christ who became a man. But yet he's the Son of God. And where is he now? He's gone into the heavens. You see, in the days of Isaiah, these priests, Uzziah shouldn't have gone to the holy place and offered a sacrifice. He should have stood outside and let the priest go in and offer a sacrifice. You see, God anointed the priest, and God gave the priest the sacrifice and the blood, and the priest went into the holy place and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat and made an atonement for the waiting sinners. And you and I have a priest. He's not Aaron, and he's not one officiating on this earth. He's the Son of God. We have a high priest. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he ministers not in a tabernacle made with hands, but he's ascended into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for you and me. And the blood which he offers is not the blood of an animal. It's his own blood. His own blood. The Son of God became a man and died for sinners. And he is our high priest. And he's gone into the presence of the Father with his own blood. And Paul said in Hebrews, by one offering, by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now where remission of sins is, there's no more sacrifice. So let us come boldly. Oh, God's throne's a throne of glory, and I'm glad. A throne of holiness, and I rejoice. A throne of sovereignty, and I'm grateful. And a throne of justice and righteousness. But in Christ, it's a throne of grace. And we're told, believers, let us come boldly, boldly, confidently, before the throne of God, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.